this morning from verse 6 in the 11th of John's Gospel. The 11th of John's Gospel, verse 6. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days, still in the same place where he was. Subject of the chapter is the glory of God. All the mysterious, strange delays, sickness, death, grief, sorrow, all for the glory of God. And we can clearly see how dear Lord ordered every mysterious step. The Lord Jesus is to many a character. I believe there was such a person. They are so far interested in him. They do not reject out of hand that he came to save sinners. He is one to be followed as an example. They believe nearer they follow him, the more their prospects of heaven brighten. To others, the Lord Jesus, an absolute personality in their lives. He is not adjustable to their ways, their thoughts. They cannot put him down, or can they pick him up by way of profession, just as and when they want to. You cannot leave him in England and travel to the farthest points of the world and leave him alone for 6 months. Now, he is an ever-present, ever vital person in their lives. This does not mean that they understand what he is doing. This does not mean that they can say line by line and point by point that they are at such a place in their experiences. Far from it. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place. This is how we behave in sickness. Is it not an emergency call at once? Is it not imperative that the call be answered? But in the lives of those wherein the Lord Jesus dwells, he delays. It looks fatal. Seems as if there is a cold indifference on his part, that there is no great urgency. So it was in this case, but there is something far more important than this. Jesus loved Lazarus. This was an everlasting covenant love. He would have thought he would have gone at once. Put his hand to the dear man's case straight away, not suffered him to sink into a delirium. Dear. No. He loved him. Why did he deny, therefore, the glory of God? That glory which sinners are permitted to look at by precious faith in their own lives. Not Jesus as the ordinary Jesus, but the Jesus who is in the trouble. But oh, the concern and anxiety all round. And so it is when one member suffers, another suffers with it. The two sisters must of necessity suffer. Jesus loved Martha and her sister. Can it be that the tender-hearted Saviour should foresee those tears of grief and not seek to abate them? Can it be that he should allow those dear women to suffer what we presume was the loss of the breadwinner? I say the breadwinner. What is the answer? The glory of God. is sickness, not unto death, the glory of God. But he abode 2 days, still in the same place. But then there are others affected. The disciples, all 12 of them, they were in anxiety because of the threatened death of Jesus. Jews of late sought to stone thee, Master. Goest thou thither again? In spite of the fact that he whom thou lovest is sick, you going to risk your life and go amongst your enemies? Are you going to risk our lives with yours? And have we got to run the gauntlet again of these dangerous times now coming to a head? Brave Thomas, apparently so, says, let us also go that we may die with him. Oh, what foolish words escape our lips. What vain talk and idle boastings. In the day of adversity and trial, when, as Peter on the Mount knew not what to say, but here we see the glory of God bringing out what the vain boastings. Though all men forsake thee, yet will not I. That spirit which seems so sure, stands so firm, and then it comes to the crucial test, then it collapses, so that the disciples were affected by this delay. And in this way, the Holy Spirit unfolds to us why these are permitted. Now, there were 3 people, weren't there, raised from the dead. Lazarus was one of them. But this is the most inclusive account we have of any, and the most blessed. Therefore, when we come to treading these things out ourselves, my dear people, expect to tread the darkest path alone. Expect to lose your fancied religion your lukewarm dull profession. Expect to lose that routine religion, which is as regular as the clock, and then be broken until the Lord shows you that it's formality. And what then will come out of this as regards the glory of God? Why, it will be your cry. Both Mary and Martha said the same thing pretty well. Lord, if solemn word in the time of testing, God put your religion in the fire, shows you a little of the straw, the shavings, the chaff, if thou hadst been here a mild reproof. Can it be that the Lord suffers poor, unworthy, though redeemed sinners to mildly reprove him? Have you reproved him lately? Have you said, Lord, it's wrong? If you had been here, this wouldn't have happened. So, how do you know? This is contact with the Lord Jesus in a sad but salutary way, because he will not cut you off for saying to him if. And then you see the difference in the sisters, that Mary sat still in the house. What a different reaction in the Lord's people. Some are impetuous, hasty, can you sit still in the house with trouble all around you, mysteries hanging over your head, your heart full of grief, and if they were permitted to come out questioning, but so is the difference in our natures, that there is such a thing as sitting still in the house. Now compare her with Thomas. and then take a broad view of the Church of God and your little assembly and those that you know and love and their reactions under the Lord's dealings with them. What is happening? The fire is at work. The test is come. And yet in all this, the great One Himself, when He speaks of the glory of God, is groaning within Himself. Groaning within Himself. Anything else? Yes. Yes. Jesus wept. What? Surely there's a mistake here. Surely this isn't right. Jesus wept. But when he was in full control of all these circumstances, the glory of God, where are you going to find it? Why? In his wonderful obedience to the will of his Father, that he was called to do those very things that brought tears to his eyes, groanings to his heart. Oh, yes. Do you get a glimpse of the glory of God in this man of sorrows, walking here below in a path that shall re-echo through the ages as one of the most beautiful accounts of his sacred service? Groaning, yes. Weeping, yes. Now comes the infidel and the bold blasphemer, and he says, that was affectation. How could he weep? How could he blaspheme? Such temptations as these you will be acquainted with when the enemy comes in like a flood and says, well, Jesus knew what was going to happen. Those tears were false. What he was doing, he well knew would end in joy. The glory of God, the abode of those 2 days. That's all that was needed. And then the hand of death permitted to do her work. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, that I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. They thought that he meant that he took rest in sleep, and said, Master, if he sleep, he should do well. Yes, for the glory of God, comparing, or rather using the same terms for death and sleep, are they the same? Is there a difference between this sleep and death? To Jesus, no difference. Which brings us back, therefore, to the great fact, I am the resurrection and the life. And is this lesson to be learnt under such mixed, strange, sad circumstances? The best place to learn it, you'll find that your most sacred lessons are learnt in the valley of affliction. Where your flesh is reduced to ashes and utter weakness, you will find, as Bunyan says, of the health of the pilgrims, that usually better in the valleys. So that when we come to the great question of the glory of God, how many there are that are affected, and what different outcomes, how many there are who profit nothing, could not this man that opened the eyes of the blind have suffered that this man should not have died? Along comes the skeptic. Surely he could have stopped this. Surely there is no further ground for us to believe him. Is the glory of God? Yes, where the skeptic aims his arrows, and the blasphemer seeks to undermine the sacred work of God. Were it not for divine omnipotence, he would be victorious. If the devil took you hand in hand through this chapter and God left you with him, even today you would be a bold blasphemer by tonight, and the great adversary would so twist you round his finger to point to you the fallacy of the whole affair. But they come to the grave. It was a cave. And what happened? Here comes the climax. Here is the scene that triumphs. This is where the Lord says, take you away the stone. And turns to his father. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Now bring together the delay, the incidentals, sorrow, raising of the dead, now the sweet companionship of the Lord Jesus and his Father. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Does this really happen in individual lives? I can solemnly attest that it's happened in my life this last month. Yes. These truths have glistened in my heart and eyes to an extent that I've never known them before. And when I was out of hospital, two friends came to see me and said, how are you? I said, I'm weak and I'm strong. I'm utterly weak in myself, but I'm strong in this, that I intend, if God spare me, to warn my dear flock of the perils of a religion that will not stand the fire, a formality of Laodicean nature, a cold indifference. I do so in the strength, that has come out of the fire through which I have passed, and for that matter, am still passing. Amen.